I'll start with a story. It's a story about a bus. I think I've told portions of this. We're gonna be preaching tonight, and I'm aware of the time. I have a lot here, but I'm gonna be succinct. I'll do my best. I had a leader who is a very senior leader that I worked for at the time, and he asked me why I did what I did. I was in Spain on a bus. I remember exactly where we were, and I'm to this day ashamed of some of the way I answered that question. I fumbled around about a bride that waits her whole life to marry the right man, and she wants to walk down the aisle in a white dress, not a dress with stains. I fumbled around a number of philosophical, "Be holy for I am holy," said the Lord. But I didn't do well. And to this day, I remember that conversation. And I want to, and I don't know if I'll be preaching to you. I don't know if I'll be helping build the church. I don't know if you'll need to check your separation at the door and examine who you are and why you do what you do. But we're going to talk about being holy unto God tonight. And we're all in different places. But at the end of this movie, if you get that question, why do you do what you do around being called out and chosen for God? And you can answer it with a handful of scriptures and some words to encourage you, then we've had success tonight. We'll start in Romans 11 and 7, if you would stand just for this first. Romans 11, 7 says, "What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it. And the rest were blinded, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David said, Let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see and bow down their back alway. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy." We're going to touch on this theme a little bit tonight, but let's just quickly pray for the word tonight before we all sit down. Lord, I pray tonight, Jesus, that you could show us what it means to be holy, that we'll learn that we should be holy and separate and called out unto you and not just separate. Jesus, the word tells us that we're to be holy unto you and for you for the purpose of living in the kingdom. We ask you to bless the word, that there be anointing in Jesus' name. Please be seated. I try and keep it real and talk on things that are practical, things that I've needed to study, to learn, to go deeper, the why, and then find examples of precedent. So that's what this is. And again, I don't know. I mean, some people may be in here the very first time, and they're looking around saying, who are these people dancing and running and shouting? And maybe you're going to get the first word you've ever had on why we choose to be holy, to be separate. Maybe you've been doing this thing your whole life, and you can't answer the bus question. That's okay. You never arrive. We're continually learning. And so we're going to go through three or four or five scriptures and some precedent. But back to this scripture I just read. "But rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy." What if one day the Lord tarries, another faith, another sect, one that is sleepy, what if that faith has a great awakening? And they come alive like the church came alive in Acts 2. Think of any, I'm not going to get into specifics here, but think of a faith today that you think is just not there. A friend that's in a certain type of denomination that's not living like the Acts 2 church. And what if that faith came completely alive, on fire, following what we read all throughout Acts 2, which is what Jesus said to do all through the Gospels. And what if that sect that just came alive one day would look back on this body and say, it's too bad they were comfortable and they fell into darkness? Could that happen to you? Can you answer the holiness question? Could another person who comes alive look at you and say, it's too bad that they actually looked at the truth and the salvation and it became a stumbling block unto them, but it provoked me to actually step forward? None of us are excused from being too big, too fancy, too saved, too educated to where you think that you've made it until you hear a couple of things, your last breath and well done, or the sound of a shout and a trumpet and then well done. That's Bible. So the principle here is don't take the Lord's name in vain. And Pastor Schumacher has talked about that a little bit. It's that simple. When you sign up for this way, when you sign up for holiness, you are to be holy for he is holy. And if you sign up for it, but you don't subscribe to his holiness, you're taking on his name, but you're doing it in vain because you're not following through with what he has done, which has called us out to be separate and chosen, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Satan wants the sacred things that you have, and we'll go through a few scriptures. We're going to talk about Samson tonight, but he wants to pull you away from God's protection. You come in here and you come alive, and there are people in here that I saw worshiping and praising, and they felt God's spirit. That doesn't just come because we're up here shouting and singing the words. That comes because they're purpose-chosen vessels that have decided to be separate. And with the holiness of that separation and the oil in that lamp, combined with the worship and the praise, activates God's presence. And he just can't let it go without meeting us. Where two or three are gathered, there I am in their midst. Don't hear it wrong. The Lord will meet your prayer. But when he meets the prayer with purpose-chosen vessels that have decided that I am, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to be separate. He comes alive in the middle of that. Satan wants those sacred things, and, you know, he doesn't have to work that hard for the lukewarm. He doesn't have to work that hard for the easy things. He doesn't have to work that hard for those that ride the fence, the cold. He just needs to check in on those people once in a while. If that statement concerns you a little bit, take inventory. He works hard for those things that are hard to get, and he knows are the gateway into your soul, which are the hard things. It's the things that you choose to set apart and be different, because that's actually the hard thing. Showing up at church and worshiping and lifting your hand is the easy part. Going that extra mile to say, you know what, I am separate, but I'm separate unto him, is the hard part. I'm going to go back to this concept in just a second, but the point here is if you're holy, you have to protect that and be holy. You have to protect that. You have to realize why you do the thing that you do, to protect it and be separate. And if you're not holy, you have to strive to be holy unto God. Give you some scriptures here. We'll go to Revelation 5 next. It says, and they sung a new song in Revelation 5 and 10. Saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and nation, people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. This is the revelation of John, seeing us that have been made unto God, made for God, toward God, kings and priests, and we shall reign. Pastor, I think, just taught on this recently. We're made unto God kings and priests in this revelation. The perspective here is, back to me saying, Satan wants to come after those hard things, those things he's jealous of, those things he's been stripped of. He was a high priest unto God. He led. I didn't go pull the scripture out. I was going to get it, but it got a little long, so I didn't. But he led. It talks about how beautiful his breastplate was, with diamonds encrusted and tubes, and as there would be singing the reverberations of this Lucifer who fell. He was that king or that priest unto God when he was made as an angel. He was made to worship. He was made for God to magnify God's glory. But he got a little full of himself. And so when you look through the precepts of what we do in our faith, how to be saved, the pattern, the method, the things that we go through, many of those are the ritual. We all go through them. And from the greatest to the least, we go through them fairly well. But Satan looks to try and rob you of those secret things, of those sacred things that actually unlock your ability to be a king and to be a priest unto God, and that's your holiness unto him. We're going to go deeper here, I promise. Satan fell in Isaiah 14 and 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Misery loves company. These people that are just lukewarm and riding the fence, and they subscribe to the way, but they don't take the key that unlocks the way, which is truly being holy unto God. I need to actually go after that. And that's why that is attacked so much, the notion of being separate, the notion of going a little bit further in Christendom to actually say, I'm going to go a little bit more radical and separate. That's where it gets attacked. You look left, you look gauche, you look wrong. That's why it's attacked, because it is a sacred thing that we have to have in our walk with God. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the very world with all wisdom had a plan, and the plan was that us imperfect humans, now watch how this works. He could work through these imperfect humans who could choose through our free will. He works through us, and those that choose to be a living sacrifice, which is our reasonable service. I don't remember if I have that scripture in here. Unlike Lucifer, who chose to try and exalt himself, you see, what happens is when people say, I will be a holy, separate vessel unto God and a living sacrifice, which is my reasonable service, when they do that out of choice, they're actually making themselves low. So follow the logic. They're being like Christ. They're lowering themselves. They're not exalting themselves. But that actually rises them in God's currency, which is the exact opposite of the rebellion that came through Lucifer. The plan was that humans could achieve being like Christ through humility, through love, not through arrogance and cockiness like Satan did. We have to choose to be holy. We're going to go to Romans 12. And there's the scripture. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves, your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. I'm going to do a couple here. My next is in 1 Peter 1, if you want to go there, which is your reasonable service. That doesn't say if you choose to do so and you come to church on Sunday and you feel like doing this, it says, no, you need to actually be willing to be a living sacrifice, and it's what's reasonable in the service of the kingdom. 1 Peter 1 and 14 tells us a little bit that we're going to go through trials, and there are things that we'll see that the prophets desired to look into, and it says you should rejoice if you're in a season of heaviness. It says if you love, even having not seen the Lord, yet it encourages, it states the excitement, it states the privilege that we have to know, then it says what to do, right? So I might go back and go through that a little bit. I'm going fast here, but it says, wherefore, in 1 Peter 1 and 14, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. The scripture is read a lot here. The word conversation, if you look in the original, it says your lifestyle. I had a lot of notes, put them aside, because I want to get to a couple of hard-hitting points. So I'm going fast through some foundational scriptures. But this is, so many people fall into the trap of thinking that if I go to this conference or I go to this church or I'm going to go see grandma, that what's on the outside is what checks the box of being holy. And yes, that's important. I'm not at all getting into any sort of holiness standards. I'm going to pivot to what's in the heart today. What's in the heart is what comes out. I could be legalistic, pastor could be legalistic, people could have a list of rules, which we need rules in life, okay? So I'm not trying to be rebellious. But what's on the inside is what comes out. And if we choose to subscribe to the scriptures that say, be holy for I am holy, and we look at the prior scripture where we are to be a living sacrifice, and we see that as a reasonable service, we in our heart choose to say, you know what, I should go that extra mile and decide that I'm going to be separate. And we're going to go to this notion of being separate unto God instead of just separate to be separate. And if you don't hear anything else, and some people might hear a little bit, I'm like a 40%er. I listen to themes. Just being separate because you chose to be separate because some pastor told you to be separate means nothing if it's not in here. So it has to be in here in your soul, a determination to respond to the two scriptures I just read that say, the word says I need to be separate and I need to be holy, which means called out. And that takes on a number of manifestations. We don't look like the world. Hello. We don't talk like the world. Do you know how many people, and it's so crazy because now I just kind of do the little half smile. Do you know how many people apologize when they curse at me? I guess that's a blessing. Not at me, when people just curse. I'm sorry, that really came out wrong, so edit that. 2, 3, 4, 10 times a week, I will have somebody getting really passionate, hollering about something, and curse, and look at me and go, I'm sorry. I know you don't like it when people curse. Ask me how many people I've said you shouldn't curse in my life. Go ahead, ask me that. Zero. Why do people look at me and apologize when there's 15 people in the room and they decided to choose that word? Because something on the inside got me into a pattern to where I chose I won't talk that way. And maybe my face kind of, I have a pretty good poker face, but maybe my face did a little thing, and over time they saw that pattern. And that's one example of a frillion of examples that should start on the inside and it manifests on the outside. Your look is one of many. Where are you going? Who are you hanging out with? What are you talking? What words are you using? All of these, the long list. And when somebody is sitting on a bus and says, why do you do what you do? I hope you give better answers than I did a few years ago. I'm going to give you a good example that you may not think. I said I'm going to go to Samson, so we're going to Samson. It's in number 6. And you maybe didn't see this one coming when I said we're going to talk about being holy and separate unto the Lord. But it's the one that actually kind of hooked me. We'll read a few scriptures at the beginning of Numbers 6, but he was called out through the vow of being a Nazarite. And I fully do not understand all the details of that vow. I intend on studying it in more detail. But there are some things here that are pretty hard-hitting that I think translate to today. This isn't a story about a really strong guy that fell and we all learned it at 8 years old. This is a story of when the Lord calls you unto him, you need to actually follow that calling. Every I, every T need to be dotted and crossed. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when either man or woman shall separate themselves to the vow, a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine, from strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar, no wine, or vinegar of strong drink. Neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dried. All right, now I'm not going to read every little detail. There's a whole bunch of stuff they can't eat or drink. I'm not going to get into those details. It talks more about vines, kernels, husks. It then goes to talk about there shall be no razor come upon his head until the day be fulfilled, in which he separateth himself unto the Lord. He shall be holy and shall let the locks of the hair of his head grow. All the days that he separateth himself unto the Lord, he shall come at no dead body. He shall not make himself unclean, for his father, his mother, his brother, his sister, when they die, because the consecration of his God is upon his head. And the last scripture, all the days of his separation. When the person I've called to do this vow does that, he is holy unto the Lord. Unto the Lord. This isn't a Nazarite vow saying, I'm going to do this and I'm not touching grapes and this and that and this and that and dead people and I'm also not going to cut my hair because I'm different. This person who chooses to be a vessel and separate for this vow at this time, a type and shadow of holiness that we are to take on and embody today, not every little detail. We're not going to read all the details again. I have no idea why a Nazarite couldn't touch a dead body. That's not what this is about. But when they did those things, when they were called out and chosen to be separate unto the Lord, they were holy unto God. Not just separate because it was cool. I want you to really hear the operative word. It's unto. It was for purpose. It activated and it unlocked things that you couldn't see. So much of life is temporal. You see the neighborhood. You see the gated community. You see the guard at the shack. You see the car. You see the man in the suit. Our life is visual and very temporary. So much of what really happens and matters is non-visual. It's the secret things. It's the unconscious power in this vow that Samson had that he didn't understand. What did the enemy come after with Samson? He had trials, no doubt, all throughout his life, but what did the enemy come after? The secret things that they couldn't figure out that broke the power, that divorced him from the vow, that brought him down in his being. It doesn't make any sense the way that God asked these Nazarites to be separate to anybody in here. It doesn't. Unless if it's a type and shadow of what it means today to come out from among them and be separate. And like I said, I don't understand the vow. But I do know, like I just said, that his failing of his separation by doing, I think, two things. He touched the carcass that he killed the lion. It had honey in it. He came back. And then later, she weaseled her way in to figure out how to undo his power and cut his locks. And that's the end of the book for Samson. He repeatedly was attacked, but it was at the level of holiness unto the Lord. That last scripture. The enemy is a thief that seeks to kill and destroy. And that's the way the enemy operates. The thief will come and sneak until it can find a way in the back door. It might come at you head on at certain things that you think are important, temporal things. But when it comes in the back door, that thief sneaks in areas of the sacred things is when the true unraveling will happen of your spiritual covering. Is when we choose that we don't need to be holy unto the Lord. The question is, take your own inventory. How separate are you? The more important question is if you've chosen to be, why are you separate? I struggle with this. Not fitting in, I think I'm to a point to where I don't know, it's probably an awful comment, but I don't know if I really care what people think about me. Don't take that the wrong way. It's just, you know, when I was in my teens, we need to pray for our kids growing up in this world. The thing that I heard my son say today, which my five-year-old who's sleeping, I had never even heard of when I was 17. You know, the way this world is going. Hey, Daddy, did you know, was the question. My eyes were, I don't know if I care what people think about me, if they look and they think I'm square or left or gauche or something, but that maybe allows me to be separate, but being separate or being holy or whatever definition of separation is to you doesn't matter if I'm not doing it unto God. And I know why I'm doing it. And that's the word I want you to hear tonight. Let's regroup a little bit. The purpose is to be like God, to be saved, to worship Him. Our purpose, our destiny is to make it to heaven. Pastor just said this. Being filled with God's Spirit, being filled with the Holy Ghost is not arrival, check the box, go to the back seat. It's a path on the way through sanctification to our destiny. The calling is to help others make it along the way. We could do mission, vision, purpose. We could do all kinds of stuff like that. I'm not trying to go textbook on you. We're to be a witness and to go forth into all the lands, preaching and teaching, rightly dividing the word. Our vision is not to be ecumenical, a word I've preached about up here, a word I didn't know until I Googled it the next day because I had a dream where a woman pointed at me and said, that's not ecumenical. I've taught on that. Brother Mundy was in my dream with me. We're not called to be alike. That's what ecumenical is, if you don't know. It's a movement within churches to try and align on doctrine so we can all get along. Our vision is not to achieve collectivism. I'm not trying to be exclusive. I'm not trying to be arrogant. I'm not trying to provoke you. I'm not. Don't take it that way. But when the Lord looks at you and fills you with His Spirit and He asks you to be holy for He is holy and He asks you to come out from among them and be separate. He asks you to do that, and that's important, but he asks you to do it unto him. And at times, you're going to have to make decisions and know why you made that decision. And your best friend, your neighbor, your colleague, that's very faithful and very devout, but they don't see these holy things of separation. Like Samson didn't think were important. You can't be ecumenical in that case. You don't have to judge. The Word judges. You can show them the Word. I just gave you some scriptures. I'll give you some more. When the Word is delivered, there's judgment. Our job is to share the Word and love. And that comes through being holy. And that holiness comes from choosing to be separate. And when God's love is inside of you because you've chosen to be, then it spills out. And when you're, you know the people that are really, really, really holy and separate, but they got it all together, but you can't even talk to them because they're so hateful? That's happening. That's happening. That's the opposite of what God wants us to do. You go to a conference, you go to a rally, you do whatever, and there are those lifers that have got the look, but they're backbiting and judging and sowing discord. That's not holy. That's just separate. That's just a club that looks a certain way. What's on the inside is all that God cares about. It's not all God cares about. He cares about us being separate unto him. Go with me, I believe, to two more scriptures. Matthew 25 and 1. I think one more carve out, if you will, before we conclude. I've mentioned a couple of times being an instrument, a vessel. And just a few days ago, reading this, I felt compelled. It's kind of a warning example, but it goes right along the path of being holy. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps. They took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Notice here that they're all vessels. They all have what appears to be an outward approach or symbol to the groom. They were vessels that were separated for the groom. These were virgins that were for the groom, and they had these vessels. So it's kind of a type and shadow as you've heard this story probably many times. If you casually walk by these ladies in these vessels, one may think, they're all separate under the groom. So again, you're walking down the aisle of a church, you're walking down the hallway of a conference, and you see 10 people, and they've got the look. I think that's a terrible song. Is anybody with me on this one? But the inner heart, the inner man, and we know how the story goes. Some of them didn't have the oil. Guess what? The door of the ark closed, and guess who drowned? Okay, I went New Testament, Old Testament on you, but okay. Similar story, different way of getting there. It's not funny because there are a lot of people that have got to look, and they're an instrument that the world thinks is, oh, that's ready for the groom, but there's no oil on the inside. How did that happen? They're just separate. They had the look of the vessel. Everybody knew those virgins were ready for the king. Everybody knew that they were holding their lamps. But God examined what was on the inside. And sometimes we don't know what's going on the inside, but that's what it means to be holy unto God and not just separate, because that's just a club. 1 Peter 3 and 3 talks about this inner man, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and the wearing of gold or putting on of apparel. I'm going to keep reading. Don't take that the wrong way. I like my Brooks Brothers. I love Alan Edmonds. I know Pastor likes polo, I think. But it says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, what? Worthless? No, it's a great price. In the sight of God, who does anybody really care about anything else in this walk we call our faith? What does it matter how I feel about you? Or what does it matter when you say I think or they think? What matters is what is in God's eyes. And he's looking in the vessel. I don't care how polished it is. I could do a whole sermon on the Pharisees. I pulled that out. The Pharisees had the look. They had the robes. They had the long faces. But on the inside, it was like a sepulcher full of dead man's bones. It's another story to talk about. Being separate ain't going to get you there. Being separate alone ain't going to get you there. If the musicians would come, I think we go to the last scripture in Hebrews 9. When you choose to not be holy unto the Lord, it's like when Peter swore, I don't know him. I never knew him. It's not the scripture I'm going to read. We're going to go to Hebrews 9. Think about that a little bit. Peter swore a vow. He swore and he shouted. He had taken on Jesus. He had taken it on as a lifetime of learning and a lifetime of his calling. But when the rubber met the road, he looked them in the face, he shouted at them, he swore, I never knew him. When a saint feels the presence of God that we felt here tonight, when a saint knows all of the stories that we've taught, and they know that we're to be chosen and called out and separate unto the Lord, not just to be separate, and they're willing to just lay it all down, they're basically saying, God, that was really good, and I thank you for the blessings, and I thank you for all those things, but that's not that important to me. All those scriptures you've talked about are not important. You're kind of saying, I don't know you. You're pushing aside everything, swearing against the covenant that you've made with God. But Hebrews 9:1 says, then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. I'm going to read a little bit here, and I'm going to stop along the way and talk a little bit. It says, for there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was a candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. There's a veil. You can't get in unless you're holy unto the Lord. It's reserved. If anybody's ever gone through exploring God's word or search for truth, we talk about later how the veil was ripped. But this was the veil that you couldn't go by unless you were the high priest getting the Holy of Holies. It's there for our learning. It goes on to say, which had the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had the manna and Aaron's rod that budded and the tables of the covenant. And over it the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second. This is where you want to go, by the way. Spoiler. Into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. It's reserved, again, only the high priest who is holy can go in through blood. We're going to read a little bit more, so don't leave me. You can only go in if you're holy, and now through the blood of Jesus, that perfect blood that was spilled for you and me. And it goes on to say the Holy Ghost, this signifying. What signifies? The Holy Ghost signifies that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. You see, what is the key? Well, it's the Holy Ghost that signified. It's the way into the holiest of holies. That scripture is a scripture many of you, if you would stand. That scripture is a scripture many have read. We talk about being holy. We do our best to be separate, but sometimes you have to ask yourself why. And are your actions and your choices unto God, or is it just a pattern? That's the word tonight. You can go to church, you can go to the altar, you can get near God with dedication and rituals. The world does that. People in the world do that every day. But only the high priest can get into the holiest place. Why? because he's a high priest. He's engrafted into the holy place through Jesus' blood. Church, to close here, there are churchgoers. Don't think I'm coming down hard on churchgoers. Please, will you not take it that way? I want this church to know why we do what we do and step forward and be able to answer the question. I'm just going to pause here just a second. Don't take my word as hard, okay? I feel like I need to say that. There are churchgoers. There are religious and they're dedicated. And then there are those that are truly holy and separate unto our God. I'm going to pray as we close and I'll open the altar. Lord, I pray that your word tonight will not come back void. I ask you to help me, Jesus, not to go through motions, but instead know why I do what I do. Jesus, I pray for this body that we could be holy unto you, to not let down our guard. I pray for our youth, my children, that they would eat this word and put it down in their heart, Jesus, and that they would be dedicated and devoted unto you. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. In Jesus' name.